There's a question that I'd like to ask is, has anyone in here ever been talked about? Anybody ever talked about you? Never talked about you? Well, I might talk about you tonight. So when I'm done, if you want to use my rag, you can dust your shoes off. I might step on your feet. And if not, then might need some water. So pay attention and think about it, that might just do a little talking about you tonight. I think I'm going to do this right here. Thing is what if I told you how to live? Well, what would you think? I'm going to tell you what to eat. What if I told you tonight what to drive? See, you got to drive that little putt-putt all the way back to South Hill. What would you think? Or what kind of house to live in or clothes to wear? See, what would you think of that? What would you think about me? See, if I just told you, I'm going to tell you right now how you are to live. Some of you might just have a problem with that. See, but I'm going to talk to a particular person tonight. And if it's you, I'm talking to you. Yeah, all right. And if it's not, I'm not talking to you, and I need to talk to you. If I'm not talking to you, bear with my foolishness for a minute. Go with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 1, and I want to read verse 13 through 16. He said, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to this to your former lusts, which were in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." So who I want to talk about tonight is the sanctified. Those who have been set apart for God. So if that's you, I'm talking about you tonight. And if not, I'm not. Like I said, and if I'm not, I need to. So let's see where we can get. So like I said, what if I just told you? And so let's take a look at some things. And think about it. How are the sanctified to live? See, how are you to live? See, I'm talking to the sanctified. So if that's you, again, I am talking to you. It said, how are the sanctified to live? And go to the book of Acts in chapter 26, and I want to read verse 18. Acts chapter 26, and in verse 18, it says, "To open their eyes so that they might turn from darkness to light, and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of their sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith." So, there's the definition I got out of the World Dictionary. It says to be dedicated, to be consecrated, if I'm saying that right, made holy. So that's what being sanctified is. Set apart. And as I was thinking about it, I said, what should I use as an example for that? And I thought about it. This building, is it not holy? Is it not sanctified? I mean, I haven't come to one picnic in here. I mean, I haven't played volleyball in here. If I'm not coming to work in here, I'm coming to serve. And so this building is set apart. See? And so that's what the scriptures say, set apart. So what we want to do is think about that. And we want to be and know how the sanctified is to live a life that's made holy and set apart from the rest of the world. I'm not saying you have to come out, but we need to be different. See, so, you know, I what comes to my mind is that there was two guys that I knew. One, he worked at a place for 30 years, and he retired, and the people told him, the guy told him, said, let me tell you something. If anybody's a Christian, you are. He said, I've been watching you for 20 years, and you are set apart. And then there was another guy, he worked at a place, and he decided to retire, he wanted to go preach. And the guy said, whoo, he said, the only way that I know that you were a Christian is that you're telling me right now. So who am I talking to? I'm talking to the sanctified, those who have been set apart, dedicated, consecrated, and made holy. That's who I want to talk to tonight. Let's move on and take a look. And the sanctified are to live surrendered lives. I want to tell you, this is how the sanctified is to live. Is to live surrendered lives. Now watch this. Now, if you're going to surrender, you're in a place, and they said, come out, or we're going to shoot. And you say, I surrender. Are you going to do this? I surrender. Huh? Or will you do this? I come out. I surrender. So which would be a better surrender flag? See? So we need to be to surrender. The sanctified has surrendered. And I'm going to read these scriptures here in a second, but let's go through some of these real quick here. What I want to do is I have a book here. It's called Stress Relief. How do you relieve stress? Now, that's my number one thing I have up there. And we'll go to the scriptures here in a minute, but let's go through this just for a second. And what it has in here, it has a stress-rated chart in it. It's a stress-rated chart. And so what I did was I had Alicia, I said, go through here, and I want you to pick the best things that you think that's among this list. And I said, ignore the numbers. Don't look at the numbers. And the thing that she thought was top-notch, by the time she got through, she had a stress rate of 154. She needs an aspirin, doesn't she? Huh? A massage or something. See, because let me show you what the thing she shared with us. Added to family, change in work responsibilities, outstanding personal achievement. Is there anything wrong with those things? Starting and finishing school, change in church activities, and a vacation. And she's almost a fall over. She's so stressed. Can you see that? And so I looked at it, and I said, okay, that's pretty good. So what I did, I said, I'm going to take a look at some things. And if some of these things fit you, tell me. Marriage. Going to get married. See, going to the chapel. 50 on the stress chart. So if you're going to get married, you're under stress. 50. Retirement. Any retirees coming up? 45 on the stress level. 45. Change in social activity, 18. You know that you better off being having a minor infraction of the law than if you're going to change your social activities. See? So that's only 11. See? And so stress comes wrapped in all different types of packages. It is, you can be happy and be stressed. You can be sad and be stressed. You can have too much money and be stressed. And you can be broke and be stressed. So it has the numbers right here. And guess when they printed this? They printed this list in 1967. See, they didn't have cell phones and email and Facebook and chatter and all these things that brings even more stress into. I don't even think they had, we didn't even have cable in 67, did we? No, you had a rabbit ear shaking outside. You had to have some guy to hold it for you. So stress comes in all kinds of practices. So we're saying, see, there's nothing wrong with having money, is it? There's nothing wrong with getting married or working or having children or be concerned with your health. But the scripture says that we need to have a certain disposition on stress. And let me give you one example, and then I'll read the scriptures for you. I went to work for JCPenney's in, I think it was 1985. I went to work for JCPenney's. And I told them, when I filled out my application, I said, I will work between 1 and 4:30 on Sunday, no more or no less. And so, okay. They took my application, went in. And then I was going to get, what they call that, when you get the job, what they call that? Orientation, thank you. And the guy said, oh, by the way, we don't have a schedule between 1 and 4:30. I said, I tell you what, sir, I was looking for a job when I came here, and I'll be looking when I leave. And he said, hold it a minute. They went back there. They came back out, and they said, you got it. And then the supervisor called me over there and said, let me tell you something. I said, what? She said, I want to let you know right now, we need more people like you around here. See, what was my reasoning for not working past 4:30? Church services started at 5, and I need some time to get there. And I said, I'm not working. And I remember in Mississippi, they have a grocery store. They always close on Sunday. And I'll never forget it. You go by there, you want to go in and buy something, they have a big old sign over the door that says, the day is worth more than the dollar. See, and so people do that. So let's see, what am I talking about here? In the book of Matthew, in chapter 16, and let's look at verse 24. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. 16:24 said, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wish to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, could I have used the extra money between, I could have worked until 6 on Sunday, and generally the people, they spent more money on Sunday than they do on Tuesday. And so I could have made the commission. So I said, no, I'm not doing it. And look at Matthew 6:33. And it says, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. See, so if you want to control the stress, put Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 on this side of it. See, you put the church or the kingdom of God first, and all these things that we fret about could be added. See? And I don't know if they would be totally stress-free, but I believe they would be less stressful when God adds them instead of us adding them. So I'm talking to somebody tonight. I don't know who it is. You know, is it you, Bill? I'm talking to somebody. I don't know who it is. It could be Mike. Could be. But you know who I'm talking to, don't you? The sanctified. So if that's you, I'm talking to you, and my towel is still available so that you can use it and dust your shoes off, because that's what we're talking about. How are the sanctified to live? The sanctified is to live surrendered lives. Why not total surrender? You know what I mean? You can't be sort of pregnant, right? You either pregnant or you're not. You see? Move on. The sanctified ought to live sacrificial lives. What am I talking about? Have you ever had to give up some of these things? How many of us have had to give up a sports car for a family car? No more two-seaters. I was kidding a man back there about hearing the bells this morning. But let me tell you something. You're getting ready that you're going to have to give up your two-seater for a family car. Has anybody had to do that when the kids start coming around? How many had to change their car to fit them? We need to give up the sports car. See, how about the kids? How about television versus homework? You got to give up something. And I'll take it right now. If you offered it to me, I think I would take cake over an apple. How many? Amen. See? That's right. We'll take it. We'll take a cake over an apple. How about overtime versus family time? See, there's people, they work overtime and their family suffers. I've known that say that there's some professional speakers. They was in there doing their professional job and their kids are out stealing car radios. See? And so you have to keep an eye on your family, because before you know it, they'll be gone. They will be gone, and you wonder what happened. How about the transmission versus the vacation? And if you guys ever done that, say, honey, we're going to go on a vacation. I've heard it said. But right at the time that you're going to go on a vacation, the transmission breaks. Right? What do you do now? Honey, sorry, we can't go on a vacation because we got to fix the transmission on the car. I got to get to work. So what we're saying is we got to give up some of these things. We got to do it. It can hurt on some of these things. It hurts. Don't do something you like to do. I'm challenging you. Find something that you like to do, not I, and don't do it, and you see how much it hurts. See what I mean? Get up at 5 instead of 6:30 in the morning and see how much it hurts. See? And so it would hurt. And let's just take a look at what the scriptures say about it. 1 Peter chapter 2, and look at verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 5.
1 Peter 2:5, first one here, and it says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." See, I got on here animal sacrifices. Now, what's the difference between animal sacrifices and sanctified sacrifice? I'll tell you. When you sacrifice an animal, he's dead. If I come and punch you in the face and punch you in the face and punch you in the face, you still feel it. And the sacrifices that we have to make, we do them alive. We're still alive. And all the things that come up on us, all the things that Satan throws at us, they come at us while we're still alive. See? So let's keep going. In Romans chapter 12, go back. In Romans 12 and verse 1, I'm sure we've read this scripture before. But let's read it again. He said, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercy of God, the mercies of God, to present your body a dead sacrifice," right? No, it said a living and a holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now, did the denominational people that met this morning, did they offer a sacrifice to God in their worship? Before you get too far gone, yes. But not acceptable. When they don't do it the way God says, it's not acceptable. See, there are things that I could say right here, right now, that you're going to say, "Robert, that's not acceptable." Isn't that right? Amen. Yeah. So we don't want to do that. So we want to keep it within the bounds. We call it Bible authority, I think that's what we call it. That God has certain rules and regulations that he wants us to go by if our worship is going to be acceptable to him. And so the people don't understand that. So, again, I might be talking to you and I might not, because I'm talking to the sanctified right now. See, so set yourself apart. We need to be set apart. And let's go to Hebrews. Go back to the book of Hebrews. And in chapter, 13, Hebrews 13 and 15 and 16. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. It reads, "Through him, then, let us continue to offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of the lips that gives thanks to his name." Now, we did that a few minutes ago, didn't we? From the lips, we sing the song to God that they may be pleasing to God. Now, what if I wanted to rap a few songs? What would you think? He said, "Wait a minute. We got to think about this for a minute. Because we want to do it the way it would please God. And the way we know that it pleases God." In verse 16, he says, "And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for such sacrifice is pleasing to God." What do we share? What do we share? You know, there's people that, like Paul was talking about it this morning in his lesson, about mentoring somebody, being there for the kids. See, he was being the referee and the coach at the same time. See, that's doing good. He could have said, "You just out." But then he said on the next room, said, "Get back just a little bit so you don't go out." So what we're looking at here, we're saying that, think about this. What are you going to do? Are you going to do your homework?
How are you going to watch television? See, which hurt the most? See, so what I should say is, I don't need any cake. Give me an apple. Right? No, I want the cake. And so family over overtime and that transmission, brothers, can wait. Because you're going to always have those little broke down cars, but your kids are going to be up and gone before you know it. Blink of an eye, they're gone. And you wish you would have waited on those transmissions. And what I'm saying is, I know it can hurt. You know why I know that? I've been attempting to drop a few pounds. It hurts. It hurts. Let me tell you, I went in the store the other day, and there was a jawbreaker or something. It's about that big. That thing looked that big. I mean, it was red. I wanted that thing. And chips and brownies. I don't even like brownies. And I'm telling you, last week I would have ate a dozen. Because I hurt. It hurts. If you're going to be sanctified, you are going to hurt. If you set yourself apart, and the people will test you all day long and to find out, are you really sanctified or are you just faking? There was one guy said, these guys come in, a bunch of militias. He said, okay, all you guys that's Christian, said, get up against the wall. He said, we're going to shoot all of you. And all you guys that's playing church, get out of here. And all the fakers left. They said, let's worship. We didn't want to worship with anybody that's faking. See, if they pulled the gun this morning or tonight, how many of us would take off? Or would we suffer it and be saints? Regardless, if they go, like I told my sister, it only takes about 1/100 of a second. Pull the trigger. Are you going to tell me not to speak of the gospel? I'm speaking of the gospel. Pull the trigger. It'll be all over. Amen. See? And if I don't, and if I say I'm not going to, I'm going to stop talking, they probably shoot me anyway. Polycarp, he said, 86 years have my Lord not denied me. Light the fire. See? That's a saint. Amen. That's someone that we can say that is sanctified. Now, am I talking to you yet? Amen. Well, let's keep going. We'll try one more time. The sanctified are to live servant lives. Now, this is an interesting one here. I thought about it, and what I did was I went and I looked up the word tip. Anybody know what that word means? Tip. Tip, tip, tip. Is it T-I-P-S, tips? What, anybody here ever gave a tip? Come on, hands. Oh, thank you. All right, thank you. Tell me this. When did you give it? When do you give your tips? After the service, don't you know that that was not designed that way? The word tip is to ensure prompt service. So try it next time. Give your tip in advance. That's what it's from. And I looked it up. It was from 1700 to 1710. That's when that acronym came about, to ensure prompt service. So we're talking about service. Now, the sanctified are to live servant lives. And we'll look at the scriptures in a minute. Now, can you see that picture there? Anybody, can you see it pretty good? I'm going to ask the question. Who do we think is the most important right there?
Who's the most important? The people sitting down to eat or the person that's serving it? People that sat down to eat it. See, so who's more important right now? Is it me or is it you? Huh? Come on with it. It's you. I'm serving. You being served, not the way they come across, you know, the movie, you've been served. Dished otherwise. So the servers, now have you ever gone into a restaurant and got the opposite feeling by waitresses? They get mad if you look like you don't have enough money to give them a tip. They don't even want you in the section. Have that ever happened to you? It happened to me. I mean, so we need to understand who's the most important. Is it the minister? Sirs? Is it the elders? Is it the building cleaners? Is it the song leaders? Is it the preachers? Who's the most important? See, you know what that whole list is? What kind of people are those? Servants! So they're serving you. See, here's what I want to get to you. I want you to offer your elders and your deacons a tip. Now, when do we normally give our tips? Come on. Afterwards, right? But what I want you to tell him, I appreciate that you're going to serve us for the next 5 years, Bill. Now, I gave you the tip in advance, see? And so it should encourage you to serve more, see? And so that's what we should do, but somewhere, I don't know where it got flipped at, but it got flipped that you give your tip afterward based upon the service. See, not to ensure service. So if you want your kid to obey, tell him in advance, I appreciate your obedience. Try it. Tip him first. So that's what the word means, to ensure prompt service. I've done it at least once. I thought I'd give it a run, and then I joined the crowd back again. I did it one time, and then I decided I'm going back. So try it. Give it a try. And so who did the Bible say is the most important? Who does the Bible say? Is it the server or those who are being served? See, the Bible tells us it is those who are being served. Let's go to the scriptures. Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 20, I want to read verse 26 through 28. It says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And let me see. I started too low down. Let me go back up here. See, it is not this way among you, but who wishes to become greater among you shall be your servant. And whosoever wish to be first among you shall be your slave. Bill, thank you for being my slave. And I know, and I've known there have been times that I had to go in there and you say, oh, man, here come Robert again. But he's a servant. And I guarantee you, if you don't believe me, go ask them sometime. Ask your elders sometime. Sometime they just rather not bother. Amen? Come on. I mean, you don't want to do it. You don't want to go in there. One more time. One more problem. See, like you're fighting fires all the time. Just get that one out, nothing blaze up. And that's the job of a servant. See, that they are serving us. And it says, and in verse 28 again, it says, and just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve and to give his life for ransom. So all we're saying here is the sanctified are to live a life of, live a servant life. And one more scripture on this. Let's go to the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, Galatians 5, 13, and look at verse 13. He said, for you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Know what he said? So now we just turned the tables. Now you just as much responsible to serve Bill as an elder and you as a member as he has to serve you as an elder. So everybody needs to serve one another. We need to serve one another. You know, one of the things that bothered me, I grew up in among the Pentecostals, and they had this big I, little you concept. You ever heard it? Yeah. Big I, little you. Don't do as I do as I say do. See? You know, I had brothers, they would smoke marijuana. They say, don't smoke marijuana. Well, okay. Right? Right? The information was good, right? That other guy, was it the Chicago mayor? He was saying, up with hope and down with dope. Remember that guy? But he had it back when he was saying, up with dope and down with hope. Up with dope and down with hope. Because they caught him. He was snipping, snorting cocaine. Purchasing it. He's the mayor. So, I tell Cassidy, I've told her more than once, Cassidy, don't do as I do. Don't do as I say do. I'm sorry. But do as I do. Because the best teacher to her is what I do, not what I say. So I can say anything, see, and go in the next room and do whatever. And so she picks up on it. She said, wait. You just did that. See? So just think about that. So all we're saying is, ministers, elders, building cleaners, song leaders, preaching, whatever it is, we are all servants of God. Saints, set apart, holy, devoted. We ask the question again, how are the sanctified to live? Am I talking to you yet? I'm about done. So, I'm talking to somebody. I don't know who it is. Maybe I'm talking to myself. But we need to be sanctified and holy. Let's conclude here by saying this. Why go through all this? The reason we need to do all this is there's an inheritance waiting for the sanctified. Now, how many times have you showed up 15 minutes early to a doctor's appointment to wait another 45 minutes? Why do we do that? Why do we go through the pain and the suffering? Because we feel that it's worth it. Isn't that right? Amen. We feel it's worth it. We feel it's worth it. See, you know, I went to the dentist and I told him, I said, you need to give me my time back. You tell me to be early, and I come in here and I'm early, and you're going to make me wait another 45 minutes? You're not the only dentist in town. And so they said, well, we're really sorry. We won't do that again. See? And so they do that all the time. All the doctors and all of them, they do it all the time.
But if you got something wrong with you and they're the one that's going to fix you, it's worth it, isn't it? To wait that extra time. And so let's do one more scripture and the lesson would be yours. In Acts chapter 20, and I want to read verse 32. Acts chapter 20 and in verse 32. Acts 20, and then let's look at verse 32. He says, it reads, "And now I commend you to God and to the words of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified." Amen. So I ask again, am I talking to you tonight? Is this lesson, are we talking to you? Are you the sanctified? Huh? If you're not, if I'm not talking to you, the water's ready. And we can be talking to you within the next 30 minutes. See? We're talking about the sanctified. And I want that inheritance. So you can talk about me all you want. So you can call me sanctified, you know, all you want. Or saint, all you want. Because I want the inheritance, and I'm willing to suffer the things that God would have me to suffer in order to receive that inheritance. And hopefully that you feel the same way. So if not, the invitation is open for you. There will come a time that it won't be. The invitation will always be offered. So every single time I get a chance, I always offer it, because we don't know when it's going to be the last time that we're going to hear or be able to offer the invitation. So if it applies to you, won't you make it known as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.